Good morning. So, Communion Sabbath, a day where we focus on the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. Now, as Seventh-day Adventists, if you have not participated in a communion service with us here at this church or at another Seventh-day Adventist church, we do things a little differently here than other churches that you might have attended before. At this time, or after I get done saying a few words, we break in to different groups and we wash each other's feet. Now, why do we wash each other's feet? In John chapter 13, Jesus gave us an example to follow him. Do as I do. That's what Jesus' motto was, right? Is it always good to follow what Jesus does? Amen to that. If you follow everything that Jesus does and you are an example of him as Myra prayed about, you'll be doing really good. Here we follow Jesus' example and we break into groups. And we have three different locations that you can go to this morning if you're here in person. If you go out the back on this side over here and the first door to your left, our conference room, there's chairs that are laid out there, and that will be for our men. So if you have another gentleman that you'd like to wash their feet, go ahead and head that way once we finish here. If there's a couple ladies that you want to wash each other's feet, you exit the center or the sides and go over here to our fireside room. It's the first room on your right as you're headed down toward this wing. And if you are couples, husband, wife, or if you have a family and you want to go together, I'd encourage you to go down the hall toward the fellowship hall where you can participate in our foot washing. Why did Jesus wash his disciples' feet? Jesus wanted to be an example, not just on how to live a faithful life to the commandments, but how to be a servant, right? God calls us to be servants like Jesus. I don't know how well you feel like you are a servant today. At different times in my journey, washing other people's feet has been, at one point, just what I do because I grew up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But I hope that this morning, as you participate in the foot washing, that you will think about what Jesus wanted us to get out of following his example in this. What Jesus would have been like, what it would have been like for Jesus to wash not just one person's foot or feet today, but all of his disciples' feet. Think about what he wants to reach into your heart and where he's saying, hey, be more of a servant just like me today. When you come back from foot washing, feel free to go to the table either on this side, if you're down here on the floor, or this side against the walls, and grab your cup of the bread and the grape juice and take that back to your seat with you. If you are not feeling that you want to participate today for any reason in the foot washing, don't feel at all ashamed or worried. Just stay where you're seated. We'll have some music playing. You can relax. You can think about the same thing people are as they're washing each other's feet. God, how do you want me to serve today? Tomorrow, how you want me to be like you. And then when we come back in here, I'll share a short thought, and then we will partake of the communion service. The Seventh-day Adventist Church practices open communion. That means if you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, please join us as we celebrate what Christ has done in our lives. So at this time, we'll break men out this door to this room over here, ladies in the fireside room, and couples and families in the fellowship hall. We'll see you in a few minutes. Welcome back. So I got to wash a great man's feet this morning, but as we're walking back to the men's area, the area that we have for the men, he's like, well, I went and there was no one else there. And I said, oh, bummer. So I should have told you, if you don't have a partner, to go to one of those areas, if you're just a single man, to go to the men's area, and a single lady to go to the ladies' area, and you know, you can team up in threes. So next time, if you weren't able to participate this last time. So there I was, Auburn Adventist Academy, and I was walking into class. Now, I wasn't a student at this school, this high school. It was my first year being a pastor, like with the title, right? Where they're like, hey, Pastor Ryan. I'm like, Pastor, what? Huh? So now I'm a little more used to it. But I walk into the classroom, and I was, part of my duties there at Auburn Heights Academy Church was to be the Bible teacher for the ESL students, the English second language students, some from China, some from there's Taiwan, Thailand, kind of that Asian area. There's a couple people from Central South America. But there's two different classes. One was about 20, 22 kids. One was about 24. And I walked in with an hour and 15 minutes of material that I finished in 30 minutes. If you're a teacher, your heart just sank with me in that moment. I figured it out, but there's something that I didn't remember super well, but that I was challenged to remember as the days went by, and that was the students' names. So even this morning, I looked at someone here, and I was like, your name starts with a Z. And they're like, oh, because I couldn't see their name tag close enough. But the names of these kids, now do you think that teenagers will nail you if they have you, like if you don't say their name, or do you think they'll just be like, oh, don't worry, my name is Johnny? Or do you think they nail you? I don't know what teenagers you're hanging out with over here, but no, just kidding. I just heard they nail you over here a lot. But yeah, they nailed me. They said, I can't remember what they called me, Mr. Whitehead, Pastor Whitehead, Pastor Ryan. But they said, you don't know my name? And then I figured out seating charts are amazing. The only problem is, though, is that if you don't figure out what kid is in what seat soon enough, they can change seats on you. And you're like, John, you look different today. And you don't really know if they're telling you the truth or not. Okay, I can get distracted with stories. But the whole thing was about remembering, right? And just a name. A name is important to remember. That's why one of the reasons we have name tags here at our church. Not because you might forget your name. If you do, just look down. But so that I can remember your name and other people can say, hey, good to see you, John. It's good to remember things in our life. So what other things are good to remember? If you are married, it's probably good to remember a certain date once a year at least. Multiple times, you know, if you do it on the wrong date, that might not be good either. But on the 14th of this month, July 14, I will be celebrating 4 years of marriage to beautiful Bridget. Yeah, thank you. Yep. And I'm excited about that. I'm happy about that. But if I forgot that, would that be a problem? Whose problem? My problem. That's correct. Now, we remember things that are important to us, right? So this week, this past week, we've been studying Revelation in our 6:30 on Wednesday night class, and I've been reading through some commentaries to supplement what I've been reading. And in one of the areas that I've been reading in the book of Revelation, in the first chapter, it talks about Jesus Christ, because it's not a revelation of mysteries and wonders, which there are mysteries and prophecies in Revelation, but is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And in chapter 1, verses 13 to 17, you can see that Jesus is given a picture. There's a picture of Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, 13 to 17. And this picture shows who Jesus is, but what I want to focus on is just a short section that I read after that. End of verse 17, it says, do not be afraid. I'll start at the beginning of verse 17. It says, and when I saw him, talking about Jesus, this is John talking, the author of Revelation. John's sharing this with you and I as we get to join him in this experience. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me. Now, this is the wonderful thing I love about Jesus, is that Jesus doesn't just say, hey, you over there, stand up, you know, from their lofty position. And he's our example, right? But he reaches down and touches John and says, no, please, And he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. That's just the first part of verse 18, but that's where the commentator of the commentary I was reading paused. And they said, what does this, I'll read it, was dead and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. What is that? What's that all about? Well, we have a different perspective, right? Because we are 2,000 years removed, and we've been for thousands of years, we've been talking about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But for those that this was written to, some 2,000, a little less years ago, this would have been really, really recent, right? In the last, like, either you were alive when this happened, or you knew someone that was alive when this happened, and it was very real and powerful. When they saw that it was Jesus speaking, I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. The commentator said, pardon me, the commentator that I was reading is an Old Testament scholar. Now, if you don't know, the Book of Revelation is the most Hebrew book in all of the New Testament. Now, what language was the New Testament written in? If you know a little bit about the Bible, the New Testament was written in Greek, and most of the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. But John, the author of the Book of Revelation, as he's writing out the Book of Revelation, he is just, in his personal life, he's soaked up the Old Testament and his Hebrew roots. And so the commentator, and I wrote down a few thoughts here, the commentator states that there are more than 2,000 allusions in the Book of Revelation of the Old Testament. Not only that, but there are 400 explicit references from the Old Testament in the Book of Revelation, and then there's 90 literal citations, and it was really cool. Yesterday and today, part of my personal devotions, and I didn't choose this, I'm not really on a plan, I get distracted sometimes, but I opened to Joel chapter 3, and as I'm reading along, Joel chapter 3 talked about the sun being darkened, and the moon, something happened to that, and the stars falling, and I'm like, ooh, there it is, there's what I just read in Revelation, and then I remembered my sermon last week. It's good for the pastor to remember their sermon as well, in Matthew 24, where Jesus talked about those exact same things. So I say all that to intro my next statement. So the commentator stated, after it said, was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen. The commentator says, the people that read this would have known the allusion to a specific event in time in Israel's history. And that specific event is the Passover. Now, if you look in Exodus chapter 12, I think. Yes, thank you. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 is the time when Israel is in captivity in Egypt. Now, tomorrow we are celebrating Independence Day here in the United States, right? Maybe some of you have Monday off. But if you know the story of the Exodus, the Israelites have been in slavery for over 400 years, and they have been going through this week after week, month after month, year after year, generation after generation, they've been in slavery, and they were crying out to God, and God responds. The specific events with the Passover, there were 10 plagues, and the 10th plague was the angel of the Lord coming and killing the firstborn there in Egypt. And as the angel shows up, what prevented the Israelites from not dying where the Israelites' firstborn died? It's the blood on the doorpost. They were instructed to take a lamb, to kill the lamb, take the blood of the lamb and dip the blood and spread it over the doorposts of their house. And as the angel came to really give judgment for God in that area, he passed over that house. That lamb pointed forward to the lamb, right? the Lamb that took away the sins of the world. And if you read the rest of the book of Revelation, I've been reading through as well chapter 6 and 7, and at certain points the Lamb shows up, and the Lamb can do things that no one else can do. Why? Because Jesus Christ is that Lamb. Is that Lamb that came to take away the sins of the world. Now the Israelites, for hundreds of years, kept Passover. It was the first feast in the feasts of the Israelites. And they would keep it year by year. They would come together and they would celebrate it. Thinking back to that moment when God protected them. Not only did he protect them, but he led them out of Egypt and gave them their freedom. Talk about a pretty cool Independence Day, right? As they were in slavery for 400 years, they finally had their independence. As we today look at this experience, Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, it talks about, I was dead and now I am alive forevermore, amen. You and I today are not celebrating the Passover, most of us. But what the commentator spoke up, and the reason he spoke up, he said, and he told me something that, have you ever learned something new? And it's kind of exciting, like you're like, ooh, I didn't catch that before. But what I caught as the commentator talked about this particular verse and the Passover, as he referred back to Mark chapter 14 and talked about the communion service that Jesus started, there was that was Jesus' last Passover. And it kind of struck me. I was like, oh, that was the last Passover. But it was not only the last Passover for Jesus, but it was the last Passover for everyone. Why? Because the Lamb that Passover pointed to was soon to die for their sins. The beautiful thing that I love about Scripture is that the more you read it, the more God wants to bring it alive to you and to me. The disciples, soon after Jesus left, I wonder what they were thinking. I wonder what they were thinking as they, year by year, moment by moment, week by week, whatever their tradition was, that they partook in what we're going to partake in today, the communion service. You know, those disciples had a relationship with Jesus. That as they looked at the glass or the cup, whatever they had their grape juice and wine in, and as they looked at the bread, I can imagine them thinking and flashing back to Jesus on the cross and his sacrifice for them. When that angel flew over the houses that had the blood on the doorposts, were the people that were inside those homes guiltless? According to whether they were righteous or not, whether they're following everything that God had laid out for their forefathers. No. But what were they covered by? They were covered by the blood of the Lamb. They were covered by the blood of the Lamb, and that allowed them to be saved. Today we are partaking in the communion service. And it's not because of your good works. It's not because you've done something deserving of it, but it's because our Savior Jesus Christ has laid down his life for you and for me. And just like the Israelites took part in the Passover to remember something significant, you and I are partaking today of the communion service, the bread representing Jesus' body, the grape juice representing his blood, so that we will remember something significant. Now, is it important to remember people's names? Yes, it is. Is it important for me to remember July 14, 2017? You guys said yes to that one more than the previous one. Is it important for us to remember that we can have salvation through Jesus Christ's blood because it covers us in all the messed up that we are? Yes. And that's why we do this communion service today. Now, here at the Adventist Community Church, we encourage you not, we do communion about once a quarter. Through COVID, we got a little messed up. But we want to encourage you not just to remember Jesus once a quarter and how he sacrificed his life for you and for me. I want to challenge you to remember on a daily basis. That's why we encourage people to have personal devotions, to open up God's word, to let God speak to you, to remember that Jesus who sacrificed himself for you, that he's your God and that he loves you, to remember that on a daily basis through your personal devotions. If you have a small group, if you come to the Revelation meetings that we have on Wednesday nights at 6:30, you get another opportunity to see Jesus shine. And our intention, our desire here at the Adventist Community Church is that as we come together once a week here at the church, right, that you will see Jesus shine and that you will be focused and remember him through singing praises to him, through hopefully as we open God's word and digest it together in Sabbath schools and here from the front, and then quarterly as we partake in the emblems. I'm going to say a word of prayer right now, and if you haven't gotten one of the little packets of grape juice and the little wafer, I'd encourage you to go ahead and grab that, and then I'll read through what Paul states as he quotes Jesus in 1 Corinthians as we partake in this opportunity for us to remember what Jesus has done for you and for me. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for all the stories in Scripture of people remembering things, remembering events. Thank you that much of Scripture points to one thing, and that is you. God, thank you that you are the Lamb that is taking away, that has taken away the sins of the world. Lord, as we partake today, may we remember. And may you remember every day until you come soon, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to follow along with what I'm going to read, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And here's where Paul talks about the institution of the Lord's Supper. Verse 24, it says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And in verse 25, it says, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" A verse I love to read, just concluding taking the grape juice and the bread, is a verse found in John chapter 11. Jesus was going through a hard time, and so was Martha. And this is what he says to Martha, and what he's saying to you and to me today. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? This is specifically to Martha, but it is the same to you and to me today. I pray that today, that tomorrow, every day, that you will remember Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for you. And that as you get to know him better, this time of remembrance will have more meaning every time. I'm going to say one more prayer as our praise team comes up to sing. And then we will conclude our service today. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, thank you so much that you are our God and that you love us and that you have taken away the sins that weigh us down. Lord, may we constantly come to you and may we pick up your burdens because they are light. Lord, thank you for this opportunity for us to remember you and the sacrifice that you made for us. Be with us this afternoon, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.